You're with SBS Radio.
Yeah, it certainly looks like that. Netanyahu's in the box seat. He was looking very confident of getting enough minor parties on his side, on the right side of politics, to be able to convince the president, Reuven Rivlin, that he and his party can actually form government. But it was interesting because at the very first day, both the Blue and White party leader and Likud leader both claimed that they won. But obviously it had to pan out on who could actually really form government.
Well, this is Israeli politics, because it's not enough to have the mandates. You have to be able to form a coalition, and the president have to invite you to form a government. And although Blue and White also has 35 mandates, the same number more or less as the Likud, but Netanyahu will be able to form a coalition with the other right-wing parties, and that's what it counts, really.
Yeah, so it's always interesting to look at that from an Australian perspective, because we have such a different system. And often you know on election night here who won or lost, but there it takes a bit of negotiating.
We'll hear more from our Jerusalem correspondent, Peter Jones-Pelach. She's going to talk about the results and the implications. And we are talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News, and we are going to move back to Australia. And on the front page of the AJN this week is $10 million funding for the Melbourne's Jewish Holocaust Centre.
That's right. That is a real injection of funding. It's from the federal government. And the interesting thing about this is it's on no conditions. So it's not an election promise. But the funding, $10 million, will become immediately available for use to the JHC, which provides education programs to around 23,000 Victorian school students annually. So the centre plans to use these funds to redevelop and enhance its permanent exhibition of the Holocaust. It's dedicating a children's museum. It's increasing its flexible learning spaces. And it's also creating a dedicated special exhibition gallery. Its director, Jane Jossam, very much welcomed the announcement and said, "With this transformational federal funding, we'll be able to further grow the vision of our survivor founders with vastly improved resources and deliver on our promise to teach the vital lessons of the Holocaust to future generations."
And we are talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News, and you're listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, Israeli elections behind us, but Australian elections are ahead of us, 18th of May, and there is a pro-BDS candidate for the Labour Party for the Curtin seat.
Yeah, so that's in Western Australia. And so this candidate, Melissa Park, she's a former Labor MP, and she's running as a candidate in this election. And she's been known in the past to advocate for the immediate recognition of a Palestinian state. And she has slammed Israel for its, quote, brutal occupation, and regularly condemned Israel for using, quote, disproportionate force in defending itself from Hamas rockets. And according to the Western Australian, Park recently told a group of pro-Palestinian supporters that Israel had a, quote, fully fledged system of apartheid. So the Executive Council of Australian Jewries, co-CEO Alex Rifkin, said it's very regrettable that such an extreme and divisive figure received Labour Party endorsement. A spokesperson for Shadow Foreign Affairs Minister Penny Wong told the AJN, "Labour is a strong supporter of the State of Israel, and that will never change, and it does not support the BDS movement."
Shane, talking about federal politics, talking about the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, I mean, he had very unpleasant experience last week.
Yes, he's hit out at vandals who scrawled anti-Semitic graffiti on his election campaign posters in Hawthorne in Melbourne. He described them, the people responsible, as cowards. He said it's regardless of one's political persuasion, vandalism is unacceptable, but it's one thing for these people to graffiti a sign, and a completely different thing altogether, he said, to invoke the horrors of the Holocaust and the evils of Hitler and the Nazis. He said these people should be ashamed of themselves. Victoria Police is urging anyone with information about the graffiti to come forward and report.
Shane, on a different topic, the ABC apologized again to the Jewish community.
Yes, the ABC has upheld an Executive Council of Australian Jewry complaint relating to the headline, Israel attacks targets in Gaza following signing of Golan Heights proclamation. The Executive Council of Australian Jewry said this headline, quote, falsely implies that there was some kind of connection between the US presidential proclamation recognizing Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights and the Israeli Air Force's strikes in Gaza. Peter Wertheim said, there is no evidence to support this proposition. And secondly, the headline fails to reveal that the Israeli airstrikes were a response to renewed rocket fire at Israel by armed Palestinian groups in Gaza, which caused injuries and destruction of property in central Israel. And in fact, at least 6 people in Israel, including 2 babies, suffered burns and shrapnel injuries. So the ABC said in its reply, the ABC News agrees that the headline erroneously linked 2 separate events, and it was corrected shortly after receiving the complaint. However, Peter Wertheim said, even the corrected headline could readily give the false impression that the Gaza disturbances and the Golan announcement were somehow linked.
We're talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Shane, I wanted to attract our listeners' attention to a special rocket, Israeli rocket named Bereshit, that is heading to the moon. And there is some Aussie connection to that Bereshit rocket.
Absolutely. There's Australian tracking stations actually guiding Israel's Bereshit spacecraft to the moon. It was due for a historic landing this weekend, while a Sydney company analyzes the craft's transmitted data. So this Bereshit is the first privately funded space mission, and it makes Israel only the 4th country in the world to land one on the moon. And speaking to the Jewish News, as he prepared a descent maneuver, Eran Schmidt, deputy manager of Israel's space agency, Space IL, said Australian satellite dishes near Canberra and in Western Australia in a global network communicating directly with Bereshit. David Steinman from Industrial Sciences Group is also following these events from Sydney. He said, as a joint Australian-Israeli citizen, I'm very proud to be involved, and I think there's a lot to be said for Israeli risk-taking and giving things a go. Once the rocket has landed, Steinman's team will analyze its data on the lunar magnetic field to learn more about the moon's origins, although time will be limited as the tiny module will be active for only a few days.
I think it's quite an incredible achievement for a small country like Israel to be able to send a spacecraft to the moon. Well, it's not the promised land, but it's there are some promises on that land.
Yes, that's right.
Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News, thank you so much and have a great week.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.